Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Got another dude!
Hey! What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Dudes to the right, dudes to the left, stuck in the middle with you.
Got another dude!
Heisman Trophy, Bronco Nagurski Award. Ultimate dudes.
Got another dude.
O-line U, bunch of dudes.
Lot of dudes.
Yeah! Another dude in the house. Yeah.
Welcome to the Lot of Dudes podcast, brought to you by 4th and Dude and Boston College 24/7, and our newest partner, Armchair All-Americans. Season 3, Week 1. For those new to the program, welcome aboard. We are Boston College Football's podcast for dudes by dudes, and I hope you guys are as excited for the road to 10-2 this year as we are. We've officially survived the college football offseason and are just 4 short days away from one of the biggest season openers in BC history. On today's episode, we'll recap the last few weeks of training camp, talk dude pood, and give you guys the scouting report on how we'll beat the Hokies on Saturday. Matt, welcome back.
Matt, it is so good to be back talking Eagles. I am absolutely jacked up for Saturday. It's been such a long offseason thanks to the many sour notes that last year ended on. So 4 o'clock on Saturday, cannot get here fast enough. We got a lot to cover today, but before we get into it, the Virginia Tech preview episode of the Lot of Dudes podcast is brought to you by MyBookie. Matt, a new football season is just days away, which brings with it a full slate of changes just with BC alums alone. We've got Matt Ryan now being protected by our guy Chris Lindstrom. Tommy 12-inch is well on his way to becoming a Buffalo legend. The list goes on and on, but a few things have stayed constant. Tony Touchdowns is still an all-ACC caliber quarterback, as we will definitely get into. AJ Dillon still loves his applesauce, and I am still betting the full slate of games all weekend long exclusively with MyBookie. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. They offer better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sports book, period. This year, they're hosting the first ever online super contest. First place is guaranteed at least $100,000. Which equates to 130,000 Bud Lights for Brighton tailgates, which I don't know if that would cover all of Brighton. I would actually be interested to know the total number, but that's neither here nor there. And the Super Contest only costs $100 to enter. All you got to do is pick 5 NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. We would only recommend a service to our fellow dudes that's been good to us. That's why MyBookie is always the right play. You bet, you win, they pay. They've got live in-game betting on every NFL game, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for all you fantasy nerds out there, you can bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game, which actually sounds like a very fun bet on a Sunday afternoon. Join now with us and get up to a $1,000 first deposit bonus. So for example, put in $100 and MyBookie will match, give you an extra $100 to gamble with. Use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And use our promo code CHAIR when creating your account to claim the bonus. Bet, win, get paid, MyBookie. Matt, we'll talk about this in a little bit, but we are going to win so much money on Saturday via MyBookie when we take the birds. And really throughout the whole year, I know I speak for both of us when I say we are feeling so optimistic about what the next 4 months will be bringing Eagles fans everywhere.
Yeah, tell you what, welcome aboard to all you guys that are new to the show here. Hope you guys are again, as excited as we are to kick off this year. You know, it's the best time of year to be a BC football fan before, you know, Steve Addazio and his crew have disappointed us, which isn't going to happen this year, by the way. But I'll tell you what, I've been jacked up for football season to start for the last 257 days, and I just can't wait for Saturday there, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I can't either. This has been what we've all been waiting for, and I think that, you know, while we haven't had the preseason accolades, I guess, that we have in years past, specifically last year, where we were getting some votes in the polls, I think that I am more optimistic and more excited for this year than I've been, you know, maybe in just about a full decade, honestly. I think that we talked about it, you know, last time on the season prediction pod and season preview pod, but the weapons that we have returning on the offensive side of the ball, Anthony Brown in his, you know, now third season coming off a full healthy offseason, A.J. Dillon in, you know, what could potentially be his swan song on the Heights. The stars are aligning for a very special year here. There's obviously still some question marks and things that we need to get over. But if things go the way that we think we can go, this is going to be a year to remember for sure.
Matt, it's a good segue into my dude. Let's just kick it off with a good old-fashioned round of dude or poo here, Matt.
Yeah, I would love that.
Breaking news as of today, we're recording this on, Monday evening. The depth chart is hot off the press, and holy cow, Matt, our offense is absolutely loaded. It's one of those things where, and we just, you know, previewed the team a couple weeks ago, but it's one of those things where until you see it all on paper come together locked in, you know, everything starts with A.J. Dillon, obviously, but, you know, you look at how the offensive line came together, the depth we have at tight end. You got guys like Glines and Levy that are like Swiss Army knife kind of guys that are listed on the two deep at pretty much every single position. The offense is going to be one to be reckoned with this year. And it's, I don't think it's going to be your typical, you know, one dimensional situation, especially if AB makes the leap that we all think he can. You know, defensively, there are certainly some question marks. But even that's part of my dude here too, Matt. When you think about some of the guys that, you know, were potentially going to be injury concerns, you talk about a guy like Isaiah McDuffie, who, you know, it was rumored to have been banged up over the course of training camp, even heading into last year. I think he was out for the Syracuse game last year. So he was a question mark coming in, but he's listed as a starter. And what that means, I'm not sure. Could be Daz playing some gamesmanship situation there. But the other guy I'm really excited about too, Matt, is Richard Yergin, who's listed as a starter at DN.
Yeah, that's huge.
The fact that he's playing, by the way, is just absolutely insane. I mean, his spine is literally fused together with a titanium plate. And Matt, how's this for a nickname? What do you think about Iron Man for him?
I think that's a winner. I think that's absolutely
pretty good, right?
Yeah, lock it in. I think we talk all the time that we love like good storylines. I think it's good for the program. It gets you on the college game day, you know, exposure and all that stuff. This is a phenomenal storyline. I mean, even to date, the fact that he's, you know, even come back and gone through a training camp and all that is tremendous. But if he can, you know, have some sort of breakout year, that's like the stuff Disney movies are made out of.
Yeah, I'll tell you, and we said last episode, like, if he can just even provide some off-the-field leadership, that would be a plus. The fact that, you know, this is one of the top recruits in the country a few years back, and, you know, obviously played for Clemson and you know, learned from some of the best with Dabo, et cetera. And he made some ginormous hits when he was playing, when he was healthy. So he could be an absolute game-changing player for this year. But overall, the depth chart, you know, seeing it all come together, there's a lot to like on this football team, and we'll get into it. But these guys are going to do some damage this year.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I have two dudes, and one of them piggybacks nicely off that. I think the main one that jumps out right off the page is the relatively healthy offseason. Really no backbreaking losses to any of the huge names. Like you said, we talked about, you know, McDuffie, and there was major concern there, but seems like at
least... Did I call him McDuffie?
No, I think you said McDuffie, which is good.
I hope I said McDuffie. I don't want to say McDuffie the rest of the year.
That is his name. We did not call, you know, we don't call him Anthony Brown either. He's Tony Touchdowns.
That's right.
When you have a nickname, you have a nickname. But again, no backbreaking losses. I feel like there's always been a couple, one or two, you know, major ones in the past. Obviously, nothing crazy. Like, we didn't lose a quarterback in the offseason or, you know, an A.J. Dillon type. But there's still major names of, oh, now we have a big hole to plug on the offensive line, something like that. And I think that, you know, we did avoid that for the most part, if not, you know, for the entirety of the part. But I think we've said all along there are a few position groups that, you know, while they're strong, they do lack depth. I think the linebacking core is a good example of that. It's a very strong core, but it's not the deepest core. So health is going to play a huge role in the success of this year overall. And again, I'll just say that another plug that we talked about last time, this is the longest consecutive time that Tony Touchdowns has been healthy in his Boston College career. So imagine what he's going to be able to do this year coming off of a fully healthy spring, summer, fully healthy, barring, you know, the one dirty Wilkins hit that just knocked him out for a game last year. I think we're going to see such a transformed player. I don't want to get completely down this road right now because I could talk about it for the next 2 hours.
Well,
but
if you think about it, too, the duo of and you look at the record when they're both fully healthy, Anthony Brown and A.J. Dillon, our record's like 15-2 or something ridiculous like that. So I know it's some, you know, unique extrapolation and you know, conveniently that's how the record is, you know, recorded because, you know, you think about how AJ went down and all that last year. But anyway, I mean, if these guys can stay healthy, the sky's legitimately the limit, especially, you know, pending AB's development there.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to get my second dude in here quickly because I think it's going to segue nicely into your poot if I know you. So Martin Jarmond was literally like 15 hours after we released the season preview episode, announced that we were moving to 4 hours tailgating pregame. Absolutely huge announcement in the world of Boston College football. This has been begged for years by students, alums alike. It's always been pitched as this huge challenge, and the Newton and Brighton politicians and neighbors don't want to deal with it. So I can't imagine the backroom dealings that went on to make this happen. But just a huge kudos to our best friend and workout partner, Martin Jarmond, who now I think we're back on good terms with now. I know things got a little bit rocky for a little while, but I think we're officially back. I don't want to jinx it. But at the end of the day, there's just no one better when it comes to driving excitement and promoting the product. Where I think this is going to segue into the point that you want to make next is you would think that this is all good news. People have been begging for this for years. The fourth hour just kind of, you know, it's still such a far cry from where we'd obviously love for it to be, but we're also realistic and 4 hours is a huge win. So you would think that everyone would be cool with this, but you would be mistaken. There were a lot of angry Facebook comments. People upset that they traded the extra hour before for removing the post game after, except for I think it's only like noon games now get 1 hour after, but everything else, you know, there's no post game tailgating. There is no question, and you and I talked about this, you know, right after it happened. There is no question on earth how much better pregame is than postgame. 1 hour of pregame is worth about 4 hours of postgame in my mind, even after a big win and even if it's nice weather. People are, you know, most people just want to get out of there and get on the road. Other people are just slow or tired after the game, whatever it is. So this is an absolute no-brainer for us, and I think really all of the sane people out there, because I think most of the Facebook comments were from kind of that weird, like, you know, 40-plus crowd that still comments on Facebook, which is, I think, generally not the side of history you want to be on, no offense if there's anyone out there who is...
That's probably most of our target audience there, Matt, so why don't you
lay it out? We have a Twitter audience. We're not big on Facebook. We're big on Twitter. We're not Facebook isn't us.
That's true. I was very confused by that narrative as well. Anyone that thinks that post-game tailgating, people were saying post-game tailgating is way better than pre-game tailgating, which is the most
absurd thing.
Who are those
people? Like, we've been in the BC community now collectively for you know, many, many years, and I don't think I've run into a single person that has felt that way. So I don't know where these people are coming
from. And we're in like the 1% of people that enjoy tailgating, and you and I and our whole group just kind of hates post-game tailgating. We're exhausted. Usually we've lost.
Well, I'd rather go to a bar than like rather
exactly.
have
so
to
we,
set
we
up
get,
a tailgate.
We get out of Dodge and yeah, we find a bar, whatever. But we're always first to arrive for the pregame tailgating. So this is an absolute no-brainer win for these guys. And anyone that has an issue with it just has an issue with everything, which actually does lead me into my poot here, Matt.
Good segue.
The negative BC fans in general, and I don't want to spend too much time here because I know it's just a few that are loud because that's just the type of people they are. And again, at the risk of alienating some of our audience here, it seems to me like there's sort of a lack of excitement this year generally, which I don't really fully understand. And I don't know if it's, you know, with me, if it's, you know, just the dog days of August and I'm reading all the comments and stuff, but it seems like a lot of people are predicting this team to go, you know, 6-6, 5-7. Even 4-8, right? There's one commenter in particular on one of the blogs who, no matter what the blog post is about, he copies and pastes the same response saying, "Oh, with Coach Addazio, I don't see how this team could possibly go better than 4-8 this year." And it's just, I can't decide if like this guy just knows nothing about football, or if Coach Addazio like stole his girlfriend or something. He just has a personal issue with him. But you know, you look at it. I mean, we have the best player in college football with Dylan. Our offense is going to be electric. Our D will, you know, have some question marks, but again, we'll figure it out, right? And you know, most importantly, the ACC just sucks this year. So I don't know. I'm ready for the season to start. All the fake experts can kind of shut up and just, you know, watch how good this team ends up being. But that's my poot, and sorry if you guys are one of the negative BC fans, but I mean, if you can't be optimistic this time of year, then, you know, what's the point? Like, why
log
on? Line. Like, yep. Who cares? No one cares about your negativity. Just be part of the fun crowd. Let's see what happens this year. Let's win some games. I don't know. We got AJ Dillon. We got a lot of positives here. Just don't be a negative Nancy just because you hate Dabs.
Yeah, that's the bottom line for me, too, is that if there is one time to be optimistic, it is right now, and really you have until 4 o'clock on Saturday to keep that mindset no matter what happens. You see that across the board. I mean, you know, obviously BC is not a national championship contender in the past, so that's going to change this year. But, you know, for any other program, whether it's in the NFL, teams that have no shot at a Super Bowl, I mean, all of our Jets fans, for example, are, you know, super confident Sam Darnold's going to win the MVP and all these other crazy ideas. And yeah, they're insane, but good for them because they're optimistic right now. They're excited about what's to come. There's, if you're just going to consistently be negative and pessimistic in the off season, then there's no point in you even enjoying sports, because at that point there's no level of enjoyment. So I'm
we're not saying
with you on that.
We're not saying you have to be, you know, like us and be on the road to 10-2. Although you sure. should be get
should
on
be.
Board because you're gonna
the right side of history. Right,
you're going to look like an idiot, and we're not going to let you celebrate when we're in the Orange Bowl. But you know, every single year, I'm so sick of all the Daz haters, and I know it goes back to how we ended last season. I get people are disappointed, whatever, but. You know, take a look at the schedule, take a look at you know, who we have. AJ Dillon, again, is going to be healthy this year, probably will win the Heisman. So a lot to like about this team going forward. And, you know, I can't wait for them to win by a billion on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I think you absolutely hit the nail on the head 100%. I'm keeping my pood off the field as well. So the most recent batch of game day polos, the 2019 game day polos, have been slowly rolled out over the last 3 to 4 weeks. And you know, I think there was a lot of excitement when Under Armour first came on board of having a, you know, a major apparel company, you know, besides Nike, but running great golf polos. That's just kind of like one of their strengths. And they still have not figured out a way to properly leverage the throwback logos on the game day polo. The sideline polos haven't been great in a few years. It's kind of, honestly, it's a negative Under Armour side. They're trying to do a little bit too much with them. Too many stripes, all these different shapes and colors, rather than just keep it a simple, solid, you know, maroon with the logo. When they had the stained glass like 7 years ago, that's the best one they've had so far, but neither here nor there. They are putting the throwback logo on a lot of stuff this year because it's, I don't know if it's just an Under Armour campaign or if it's the whole college football, but they're doing like 150-year history of the game with the throwbacks everywhere, and they have completely botched the game day polo that they have set up for that. There's like a weird front pocket, which is not a good look on a golf polo. Weird stripes in the front pocket, just no bueno overall. The t-shirts they've released, I will say, have been very strong for the 150-year campaign for the throwback, so I'm really having a hard time wrapping my head around why they can't figure it out in the other apparel. And you know, it's kind of honestly potentially pushing me to no longer be a game day polo guy. And
breaking news,
I've got a lot of things going on mentally right now that I'm trying to figure out, so yeah, stay tuned on that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I just haven't been as in love with the throwback logo as everyone else.
That's a bad take.
Which I know is apparently wrong because everyone else goes nuts for it. But like, I can't imagine anyone that works for the BC Athletic, whoever is involved in making those apparel deals, can't like just figure out like the engagement alone on Twitter when the word throwback logo gets mentioned. Why don't you just put that on everything going forward for the rest of time? I don't understand. It seems like a pretty easy solution there, not really rocket science.
It really is. It's like, and it's such an easy goodwill gesture, especially, you know, when the end of last year wasn't going the way that we wanted to go. All MJ does is need to send out a tweet saying, you know, hey, we heard you. Here is the new logo that we're using everywhere. And it's the throwback that's got the, you know, updated colors, and it's awesome. Make those the full-time jerseys, the homes that we wore last year, and then the aways for what we wore at Fenway against Notre Dame. Put the throwback logo on the center of the field. Put it on Connie. Put it everywhere. I can't imagine how sick the hockey jerseys would be if they were like in the throwback setup.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
So it's just like, it's such an easy decision. And I don't know if they were just waiting for everything to get, you know, so bad, but I think that we hit rock bottom last year, at least on the basketball side of things. So it's like, at what point is it going to be the time to get that gesture of goodwill and flush it out? So I'm very frustrated with that overall, but again, I'm not going to let that detract from our relationship with Martin. That's just going to be something that we're going to have to discuss at the next summit that potentially will be taking place at some point in late October. Eyeball emoji on that.
Oh, I thought that was going to be in Piscataway. Is that not true?
We could definitely run into him there, but there's some conversations.
I see. I got.
I don't know if he's. I don't think he's aware of these conversations. Let me put it that way.
I can be certain that he's not aware of these conversations.
That sounds about right.
All right, so we rolled right into some of the segments here. And again, for those of you that are potentially new to the podcast, we have a few segments here: Dude or Pood, Eagles in the Wild, which will be coming up next. We also have Duteus Corpus, which I think we're in recess this week, right?
We are. It's recess.
and a couple other segments. So you guys will figure it out as we go. It's not all that complicated. So Matt, Eagles in the Wild, and this one is just what's happened with BC alum across the world here. So I'll kick it off with the rollout of the ACC network. Features some prominent ex-Eagles. You talk about the Hasselbecks. You got Mark Herzlich, who I think is actually doing the color commentary on this Saturday's game. So that'll be interesting. Marlon McGrath, I think, is potentially involved. I might have made that up. I'm not sure.
That's correct. Yep, that's
accurate. One of my favorite parts of the ACC network, and they rolled it out on, was it Thursday night? And they've just been doing kind of wall-to-wall coverage of kind of the upcoming football season. They've been showcasing our boy Doug Flutie a lot, which is kind of funny when you consider the fact that the Miracle of Miami took place 20 years before BC had anything to do with the ACC. But if you don't overthink it, that's pretty cool. And just quick note on the ACC network. I mean, how awesome is it that we have a full-on network that's dedicated to BC football, or not BC football, but, you know, ACC football and stuff that we actually care about, you know, that is, you know, being, you know, covered by, you know, ex-players and experts and you know, being professionally done. And again, it's been a long off season. There's only so many blogs and stuff you can go to, but to hear it from sort of the experts on, again, stuff that you want to you know, hear about, you don't have to hear it from idiots like us. You know, it's pretty cool. Bonus is that, you know, at any point in time, I could throw on the channel, Matt, and Steve Adazio could be staring right back at me.
Yeah, it's Matt, it's funny you say that. So it's funny you say that. So I actually work from home today. I had a little bit of a long weekend up at the Traverse Stakes in Saratoga, so needed a little bit of a slower start on my Monday. Flipped on the ACC network right at 10 o'clock. And sure enough, the Packer show, Mark Packer or Wes Durham. Durham and Packer
were kicking
off
something like that.
Something like that. We're kicking off an interview with no one else but Steve Adazio right at 10 a.m. So caught that for the next 15 minutes or so. The thing we've always said about, you know, love him or hate him on the field, he is such a magnet for the camera and the media side of things that these guys just love talking to them. I think it took like, you know, 5 minutes of real football talk before it devolved into like, hey, like, what are your favorite Italian restaurants in the North End? But he hams it up and he's awesome at it. So you absolutely nailed it there with that example, because today I turned the TV on and he was staring right back at me. Are you covered? The only note I want to have on that is the networks that aren't covering it. I think Xfinity is not, which is, you know, obviously the main one in Boston. I'm good in New York with Spectrum. Are you covered in Philly?
Yeah, I'm one of the rare people in Philly that don't have Comcast.
Okay.
I kept my Verizon subscription from the Boston days, so that turned out to be a good move, because, yeah, it sounds like Comcast isn't budging an inch. So, yeah, a little mini-pood within the Eagles in the Wild there. I mean, there's a lot of people that and everyone's very vocal on Twitter about it, too, and you feel for them, because, you know, I'd be pretty pissed, too, if I couldn't watch the Eagles. I mean, that would cause me... Yeah, it would absolutely cause me to unplug.
Oh, 1,000%.
Do the YouTube TV, yep, or whatever people are doing.
1,000%. Yeah, so that's when the BC fans are good on their vocalness on Twitter. The vocalness about the losing the post game, I would not classify as a good thing.
One more thing on the ACC network that I'm just concerned about, and I want to just put a bookmark in it now. They are kind of pushing Duke already, even though it's football season. They have
how about that?
Coach K documentary. So.
That was amazing on Thursday night, the way they're kicking it off. Three nights before Miami starts their, you know, starts ACC football play, and they are running two consecutive hours of Duke basketball documentaries. That made me absolutely sick.
I'm a little concerned of what's to come during basketball season. That could be insufferable pretty quickly.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, so for my portion of Eagles in the Wild, I'm going to do a run through. We've got a lot of Eagles in preseason action, currently fighting for roster spots, all of the guys who were on the Heights last year. So just going to do a quick whip around here of who we have in action. So first and foremost, Tommy 12-inch Sweeney, currently starting due to some injuries up in Buffalo, but he's making a huge impact. Josh Allen, who has a rocket arm, has quoted as saying, quote, "He is a special talent. He really is," end quote. It's a good quote.
That's a heck of a quote there, man.
Yeah, just right to the point. I will make a side note on Tommy Sweeney and more specifically the Buffalo Bills. So like I said, in Saratoga all weekend, and now we're in the type of the year where you buy the Bud Lights as the football teams on it. They only had Buffalo Bills cans, which I thought was very strange, because they're like 2 hours from New York and 2 hours from Boston and like literally like 7 light years from Buffalo. And people just think that if you go north of Manhattan, it's all upstate, but that is not correct. So I was shocked at that, but I guess I would rather Bills beers than like Jets. So I'll live with it.
Are you sure about that? I generally trust you on stuff like this.
I'm positive.
You're usually right.
I asked at the Price Chopper. I went to the Price Chopper and I said, what's going on here? Like, do you guys only have Bills beers? And they said, yeah.
When I was in Saratoga with you, I don't know, a few weeks ago, I could have sworn that Buffalo was right around the corner. Is that not true?
No, Buffalo is very far away.
Okay. Albany is close, though.
Albany is right there, but they
which
don't have
the, a... Which is the capital.
It is, but they don't have a pro football team.
That's true. Good point. But that's by Buffalo. It has to be.
It's just not.
Wild.
Should fact check it. All right, keeping it rolling here. So Zach Allen is now projected to be a starter in Arizona. That's possibly due to their original starter getting arrested for aggravated assault. But we take the opportunities where we get them, and then we, you know, we take it and run with it. That's really all you can do in the league. Lindstrom, of course, looking like a starter in Jacksonville. We've got a couple guys. Connor Strahan currently listed as the third string linebacker behind Miles Jack as the starter in that position. There's someone else backing him up. And Mikey Walker, our guy, love the whole Walker family, still fighting for a spot there as well. Sounds like there's four guys fighting for one kind of kick returner, wide receiver spot. They were
Coughlin's going to hook him up.
You would think so.
If it doesn't work out immediately, he's going to keep Mikey Walker on speed dial. He's going to make the Jags at some point. He'll be on the practice squad.
Yeah, you would think so. They were on National Fox on Thursday night. Last Thursday night against the Dolphins, and Joe Buck gave the old, you know, Mikey Walker out of Boston College shout out, which again you love to see. Joe Buck's got a great voice. Will Harris had a scoop and score for the Lions last week. Feels like he's a safe roster spot right now. There's still some TBD, but most of the reporters there seem to be he's okay. Or no, I'm sorry, that definitely feels safe. He's been getting some first team reps, primarily in the first sub package right now. The one that's more of a TBD, but still being reported as a roster spot, is Lucas Big Swing and Dennis to make the roster for Mike Bajakian's former Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Been a very competitive battle, but he's looked great. Sack King Cole, Wyatt Ray grabbed a sack for the Browns last time out, and the Browns are kind of the big darling in the NFL this year, it seems like. So if you can get on that bandwagon, that would be huge. And then last but not least, Aaron Montero down with the Dolphins, playing under former Eagle Brian Flores, is one of five guys battling it out for two open tackle spots. So fingers crossed for the guys who are still fighting, and a kudos to you know, everyone for an otherwise great preseason so far.
That's a lot of dudes. That's an absurd amount of dudes. I mean, I don't think we've seen that in years past.
You know what? And I don't want to bring it up, but it's a little frustrating that with that many dudes,
Adazio literally invented these guys. He's allowed to not win that many games with them. Okay,
I agree. He's a phenomenal talent developer. We're not going to get into it because again, we're the optimistic side right now. But it's when you look at that roster, that's frustrating to only have won seven games. Let me just say that much.
Let's hate on Adazio for making these kids' dreams come true and getting to the NFL. great message, Matt. Tell that to our recruits coming in.
Fair. All right. Anything else for you? Do you want to move on to VaTech?
Yeah, let's. I'm Matt. I've been ready to move on to VaTech since December 26 last year.
Yeah, since the lightning strike. Yeah. So, are you ready for this one, Matt? We have another presenting sponsor for today's episode. Let me preface this all by saying I know that both of our parents, aunts, uncles, I'm sure other extended family listen to us every week. So I hope everyone out there can appreciate how awkward these next 90 seconds will be for me. But with that in mind, we are very excited to announce that this episode is brought to you in part by Blue Chew. Dudes, do you remember the days when you were always ready to go, when no amount of MAs, whiskey gingers, and late night rogues would stall your engines? Want to increase your performance on and off the field and get that extra confidence you're looking for? Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it works. You can take them anytime, day or night, after a tailgate, after a mod party, and since they are chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. If you could benefit from extra function and more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Most guys talk a good game, but Blue Chew helps you follow through. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Except, of course, if you're the podcast host who has to read this while your mother and other extended family listens on. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code ARMCHAIR. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code ARMCHAIR to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this episode. So Matt, moving on from the male enhancement talk quickly, if that's cool with you, are you ready to dive into the Hokies here?
Sounds good to me, Matt. All right, let's talk Hokies. And before we get to the football, we'll ease into it with our fun facts. Matt, what do you got?
So I'm going to go with, so we've obviously, this is now, you know, third year doing the ACC teams, or at least the ones that we play every year. So there's going to be some overlap here. I'm trying to keep it somewhat fresh. But
so, Matt, you've done the same Virginia Tech fun fact 3 years running now. I'd love you to change it up. It'd be huge if you could.
So that's actually, I went through the episodes and I listened to all of them. You have used the same fun fact the last 2 years, which is specifically...
Is that me?
Yeah, Bruce Arians has the most quarterback rushing touchdowns of the season with 11.
There you go. You took mine.
And he was Tiki and Rondé Barber's dad's roommate. Anyways, everyone knows that I'm a big astronaut guy, and it seems like every single team on our schedule, except for ourselves, has at least one astronaut that has come out of the school, which is, again, I think a bad job at BC and something that we need to pick up. So my fun fact for VaTech, just to kick it off on the astronaut theme over the course of the year, will be that they have two astronauts and their notable alumni, along with 7 Medal of Honor recipients, which, again, is, I think, a huge number. Like, I may have mentioned this 2 years ago. I don't know how many Medal of Honors are out there in the world, but having 7 is like a significant number, it feels like.
Well, is it one Medal of Honor winner per year? Or is that one of those that everyone...
No, it's not, Matt. Nope. That's not like the Oscars. It's more of, okay, if you've done something to earn it, you get the Medal of Honor. It doesn't matter, you know, doesn't matter when or where it happened. If you've done acts of valor that are warranted the highest medal in the country, you receive it. So that's a big deal.
Got it. Yeah, that's cool. I got a couple fun facts here, Matt. Although you did just use my Bruce Arians one. That was my other one.
You were going for it. Hey, yeah. Matt, get this. I think this will work. Okay. You were going for a turkey of Bruce Arians fun facts.
Oh, yeah, very good.
3 in a row.
Yeah, that's turkey. Good. It's three straight strikes. That's right. We covered that last...
We did.
Last season, too. Man. Okay, so everyone knows about the famous Virginia Tech lunch pail. Did you know, Matt, that the original lunch pail was acquired by the mother-in-law of co-defensive coordinator Rod Sharpless in 1995, and it once belonged to a coal miner?
So believe it or not, Matt, I did not know that. And I think that's shocking to you.
You know about the Bud Foster, the lunch pail defense type of thing, right?
I'm aware of the lunch pail, but no, I was not aware that it came from the coal miner who was the mother of the former defensive coordinator.
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah, the mother-in-law of coach. Yeah, exactly. So how about that? Also, Matt, I have another fun fact, too. You know the whole Enter Sandman thing? I should really save this for next year, but I'm excited about it. And you're a big weather guy.
Yep.
Did you know that during 2011, so everyone knows the Enter Sandman, all the students jump up, and it's probably the coolest entrance in all sports. During a 2011 game versus Miami, the town of Blacksburg registered a 4.3 on the Richter scale from the Hokies jumping up and down to Enter Sandman.
That's pretty good. Did you know that the Richter scale is an exponential scale, or a logarithmic scale, I suppose would be the official term? So, like, for example, a 4.3 is 10 times weaker than a 5.3 and 100 times weaker than a 6.3. So it goes up very quickly in terms of the number. So, like, I don't know if a 4.3 is that bad.
It's not linear.
Correct. It's not linear. Yeah.
It's more parabolic.
Maybe.
Okay. All right. So next segment here. And this is actually a new one for you guys. So this is the third time we played Virginia Tech in the fourth and dude era. So Matt and I have been kicking back and forth. You know, all right. So the year one we did notable alumni, right? And that was fun. Year two we did famous turkeys, which was less fun, but we actually, it ended up being, you know, working out better than it should have. So this year it was sort of like, all right, what are we going to do? And we're thinking, and we'll see how this goes, but we're thinking top 5 Virginia Tech / Blacksburg / Virginia related movies and or pop culture references. Is that pretty much what we're doing, Matt?
I think that seems fair. Again, we don't really make the rules here. The rules kind of make themselves. So we're going to figure it out on the fly. Before we get to this, I do just want to run through for any new listeners who we hit previously on the top 5 plus 6 man notable alumni and top 5 plus 6 man notable Hokies. So 2 years ago with the alumni, really a disappointing slate overall. So we went with Roger Craig, who was the 2011 Jeopardy champion, George C. Nolan, who was the CEO of Siemens. For those of you who think that we, you know, the immaturity maybe just started with the Blue Chew ad, that's been around for 2 years. Homer Hickam, October Sky, Jim Buckmaster, the CEO of Craigslist, Ken Pomeroy, and of course, Bruce Arians. Just again, a really bad slate overall. And then the top Hokies or turkey related items: 1, bowling a turkey; 2, the Hokey Pokey; 3, Hokey, who was a house elf in the Harry Potter books, but not the movie.
That one's controversial because I never confirmed that.
It's true. It's on Harry Potter Wikipedia. The Little Turkey, who was a Cherokee leader, the Gobbler Sandwich, the Thanksgiving Sandwich, whatever you want to call it, and then Turkey Stearns. Not sure who Turkey Stearns was, but his first name is Turkey.
Yeah, that one was yours. So I don't know a Turkey Stearns.
Okay. All right. So we'll keep it rolling here with the top five Virginia Tech movies or pop culture references.
Yeah, I'll go first. Please. Matt, let's go with Remember the Titans,
yeah,
which is a movie I have seen 1 billion times. You know, everyone knows it's high school in Virginia, and there's a lot going on racially and all that. A couple notable scenes when Coach Boone wakes up the boys at like 4 a.m. and they go to Gettysburg. It's just an all-time scene. And Matt, one thing that I was thinking as I was putting this together, you know how they were loaded at linebacker? They had Julius Campbell and Gary Bertier.
Of course.
We're also loaded at linebacker, so there's a bit of a parallel there.
I see. Did that take place anywhere near Blacksburg? I think Virginia is deceptively a very large state, so I don't know
it's
if that
wide,
was like...
It's wide, right? Like it's, yeah. You know, yep. Worcester. It could be the Worcester equivalent. I'm not sure. Okay. I didn't look that up.
Okay. So I try to keep mine mostly in the Blue Ridge Mountain area near Blacksburg, which I do have a side note on my research here. So Blue Ridge Mountains, of course, everyone is aware from the Country Roads song, which is about West Virginia. It was actually written about the regular Virginia, but they moved it to West Virginia because it sounded better. And on
they needed that extra syllable.
Well,
right?
And on that note, when they were considering states to name the song after, Massachusetts was in the top two. Can you imagine that?
No, I really can't.
That would be amazing if we had Country Roads was our like BC refrain rather than
I don't
Virginia's.
Think it would be like a famous song though, because it if you think about the course, it has nothing to do with Massachusetts.
I think if you go out west, there's a lot of nature.
I'm trying to go through the lyrics in my head. I don't think Massachusetts fits there, but yeah, I guess
it's on the Wikipedia. It's on the Wikipedia, so it's true.
Okay.
All right. Anyways, I will
go. Draft. You go again.
Yes. Well, I haven't gone yet.
Oh, I thought that was your one. No. Song. Okay.
Oh, actually, that's not bad. I might use that if I don't like my answers later. My first one is Dirty Dancing. So this was filmed just around the corner at Mountain Lake Lodge in Pembroke. Everyone, you know, loves Patrick Swayze. Rest in peace. I've never seen the film, but I did see, was it Crazy Stupid Love, where they reenact the Dirty Dancing dance scene. So.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
So... kind of Crazy Stupid Love,
Matt,
but really dirty.
Get this. In that movie, Ryan Gosling is involved in that. He's also in Remember the Titans. And
yeah.
He kind of stinks it at corner. I hope that our corners are better than Ryan Gosling was.
Yeah, I agree. Potentially, I don't think he appeared in this film, my next pick, but he was a child actor, so you never know. The timeline works out. Patch Adams. So the movie with Robin Williams where he was the doctor who wore a clown nose and brought a lot of happiness. So I think it actually might have been a Disney-related movie. So it's not impossible that Gosling appeared in that. Patch Adams, the real one, not Robin Williams, also rest in peace. Everyone's dead in my movies. Went to VCU, but they don't have football there, so I'm going to round that up and count that as Vatek.
Okay. All right. That counts.
Yep.
Am I up now?
You are. This is the fourth pick. Yep.
Okay. My fourth pick, I'm going to go with Minority Report, obviously.
obviously.
Don't have to explain this one. This is just Tom Cruise, who... It's a very confusing movie. Don't ask me to explain it, but I know there's some time travel involved. He goes back in time to prevent crimes from happening, and I think that's the general gist of it. Apparently, that was filmed... in Virginia, or is based on Virginia.
Yeah, but that's sure. Fully like, I mean, again, we'll round up, but that's definitely like the DC Virginia. That's like government stuff.
Well, Matt, you think that's in the government stuff. My next one's going to be The Bourne Identity, which, you know, initially I thought was based in Europe, but then I put it all together in my mind that, wait a second, yeah, there is, you know, the scenes take place at the FBI, which is Langley, Virginia, which is right outside DC there. So yeah, Bourne Identity, also Virginia Tech movie there.
Yeah, you could have done better. I'm going to go, again, keep it on the Blue Ridge Mountain notes. So A Walk in the Woods. I've never seen this film. I've never even heard of it. But it came out in 2015 starring one of the coolest actors of all time, Robert Redford, the Natural. Just a great actor. He's in it and he's walking through the Smoky Mountains near the Blacksburg area. I would also recommend the film that he's in that did not take place in Virginia that came out last year, Old Man and the Gun. Just a fun, you know, a fun, worth the watch of a great former actor, Casey Affleck. Your guy is also in that.
Oh, he is my guy. Casey Affleck is my guy. Everyone knows that.
Well, yeah. I don't know. He might have been on a list. So you got to be a little careful about that.
Oh, yeah. I think you're actually.
You can take that back.
Yeah, cut that out. Ben's my guy because the accountant. Everyone knows that. All right. Am I up again? Or no, that's it. That's all she wrote.
I think that's it.
I do have one honorable mention here, Matt.
Yeah.
The Patriot, which I'm shocked that neither of us said.
Okay, that took place in South Carolina. That was not anywhere near Virginia.
It was filmed in Virginia, though, Matt. So
okay, but it took place in South Carolina.
Yeah, but Matt, you talk about an all-time villain with General Tavington, who was also Lucius Malfoy.
Yep.
Just one of the best villains of all time. So.
Yeah, that movie caused a lot of, I don't want to say political issues, but the Brits did not like
that. The American Revolution, I think you're referring to.
Yeah, the Brits were not happy because they thought there was a lot of inaccuracies on the Tavington. They didn't think that he actually like ate children or all the other horrible stuff that he did. But I choose to believe it. He burned everyone in that church. Spoiler alert. Just a horrible, horrible, horrible guy. He killed the village. He killed the kid's son. Just awful. Awful guy.
And it doesn't get any better in the Harry Potter sequel. He's just as evil.
Yeah, I would agree. And then the only one I missed, What About Bob? Which is a classic comedy with Bill Murray and Richard Dreyfuss. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff all around. I think out of like 10, I would probably give this segment like a 5.2, which is to say it's just above the 50% mark.
I was in the 6 range myself. I think we'll keep it though. I mean, if you think about it, we only have to do it for...
Virginia Tech was the hard
five.
One.
Yeah, we only have Virginia to do Tech it for was the 5. Hard one. And for Syracuse, we have the whole state of New York. So we'll
just list all of you. Exactly. That's
Home
easy.
Home Alone I'm taking. All right. So with that, we're getting closer into the football talk. We're not quite there
yet. We promise we'll get there eventually, but it's tough.
Well, just to be fair, this gets more football intensive as we get into the season. We talk about what we're seeing on the field, all that, but we got to put some filler in for you guys here too. All right. So the Virginia Tech tailgate ability is next up. Matt, what do you got?
I'm going to defer to you to go first here because I've been waiting for this for a long time.
All right. Sounds good. So for those new to the program, like I'm doing that a lot, Matt. For those new to the program, I don't know who's new. So I got to say it.
Just treat everyone. Everyone's like an old friend,
Okay.
No one's new. They all get it. They're smart listeners if they're listening to this program.
The scale is out of 30 Bud Lights for this. So that's something you got to know.
Correct.
Just coming in. And Matt, I don't know if it's just the off-season talk. I'm just ready for football, but this is dangerously close to 30 out of 30 in my mind. You talk about it's opening day. We're undefeated, which is related to being opening day. Perfect weather, I think.
Okay, don't talk about the weather.
I assume you'll cover that.
I will cover that.
I assume it's perfect until I'm told otherwise. It's a 4 p.m. kickoff, which is the perfect time to play a football game. Extended tailgate, as you talked about earlier. It's a big time opponent. We have a chance to upset. And I don't know. I put Clemson last year. I think we put that around, 29 point something?
Sounds about right.
So it's got to be below that. So I get 27.6, but I'm even more excited than that, if that's even possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no reason to not be. Season opener, 4 p.m. kickoff, which I do think, by the way, is the perfect time. Like, I think I would rather that than an 8 o'clock game, at least as an alumni, right? Like, I don't know. Is that a crazy take?
No, absolutely. I think 4 p.m. is perfect.
Right. And again, the problem is, obviously it's earlier games would stink. But like on a noon game, for example, the tailgate doesn't really get going to like 10:15 by the time people wake up and get out there and get the Ubers over and all that. This, you get plenty of time to get, your breakfast sammies in, get over there, get out, the cooler packed, everything that you need, get over there in plenty of time. The first game with 4 hours other than game day last year. So that is like a huge pro for the score here. People will be chomping at the bit to get in right at noon. And I hope we'll be just as eager to get in the stadium, though I guess TBD on that. Huge game, like you said, as big of a season opener as we've had in our tenure since matriculating at Boston College. Miami is the only other one in the conversation our senior year, but obviously that was ended up being a lost season. Should be a jacked up fan base. The weather, again, I've been excited to talk about this. I've been checking the 10-day constantly. I am the weather guy here at 4th and Dude. Maddie Meteorology, as some people have called me.
Matt disclosed to me offline, actually, a few days ago, that he has a paid subscription to a weather app. Like me and you, the listener, just check the weatherchannel.com app, and that one's perfectly sufficient.
It's not perfectly sufficient.
Matt pays like $20 a
month. No, that is not true.
I paid a weather subscription.
I paid a one-time flat fee of $3.99 for the Dark Sky app, and I can't recommend it enough. It's the official app of...
No free ads.
Okay. For a weather app that costs $3.99, that is the official app of Major League umpires who use it to decide whether or not they're going to call a game or a rain delay. So I feel pretty good about that, just to put that out there. But anyways,
canceled the first responder bowl?
I didn't have the app at that point. I would have known it. I would have seen that coming. So anyways,
okay.
It is a gorgeous, absolute picture perfect 10 out of 10 Labor Day Saturday. This is on a Monday, but I feel good about this not changing too much. Currently a 0% chance of rain, sunny all day long. The tailgate starts at 77 degrees, up to 80 at kickoff, but in the 70s all game. it's warm, but it's not too hot, especially if you're in shorts and a game day polo, something like that. It's just going to be absolutely perfect. I have two slight deductions on the score in general, basically the reason why I'm not at 30 or where I was for Clemson last year. Number one, it is Labor Day weekend. People have plans, obviously not you and I, but people have plans. People are at the beach. They're you know, getting their last weekend of summer before, you know, the real world starts back up again. It makes travel up expensive. So if you're coming from out of town, if you're not in the Boston area, and again, many people aren't available and they have plans. So still very high. The other one I'll say is, you know, while Virginia Tech I would consider to be somewhat of a rival, you know, they're not a Notre Dame or someone that we hate, you know, the most. And then on top of that, while we are certainly optimistic, I think their fan base is as well, we are still two unranked teams, you know, versus game day last year where it was number one versus number, what we were for, you know, 15 or 14 or whatever. So those are the only two minor deductions. Still super high, going very slightly lower than you, 27.2. I'm personally still TBD if I can make it up, but I'm going to figure that out in the next couple of days. But going to be a great day regardless, wherever you're watching it, even if you're at the beach and you're watching this, you know, on the ACC network. Just a picture perfect day for football, coming off, you know, wherever you are at the golden hour, getting a beer in your hand and watching the Eagles. I cannot wait for Saturday.
Or if you're like me and you have friends that decide to schedule weddings for Saturdays during football season, especially on Labor Day, that's where I will be. I will not be at Alumni. It's an absolute disaster. Matt, shout out to you. And by the way, we officially have a groom alert on our hands. Matt got married
hey, thanks, Matt.
A few weeks ago. Shout out to Matt for not doing it during football season. That's awesome.
Yep.
So anyway, so I'll be watching on my phone underneath the table at the venue. So looking forward to that. So let's get into the game itself here. I did a lot of research, Matt. I was kind of jacked up for this game. I actually rewatched the game from last year in full the other night, which I know is, that's 3 hours I'll never get back.
That's a weird move.
Matt, I was just so excited.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what. So obviously, we played these guys last year. We took home a big W on the road, beat them 31-21, I believe. I didn't double check that.
You just watched, sure, really? You could have picked that up?
I'm pretty sure that's right. And I guess the story of last year was, it was just a story of completely two different halves. They had their way offensively in the first half. They were up 14-7, but it could have been a lot worse. They missed a lot of opportunities. We got lucky. Their quarterback, Willis, in particular, was very impressive. He was 16-for-19 for 212 yards and two touchdowns at the half. He's, you know, very accurate. He has, you know, big-time receivers. What really, you know, changed the course of the game last year, I guess, was a couple things. Matt, do you remember that big Will Harris hit?
Yeah, you tweeted it out. Yep, exactly.
In the first, yeah, it kind of went viral, not a big deal. He just had a huge hit on Willis at the end of the first half. Willis wasn't really the same after that. We also made some big-time halftime adjustments. And I think it was probably, you know, Campanelli who, you know, he mixed up the coverages and threw more zone at them than he did in the first half. But in general, I think Willis just didn't have it anymore.
I'll say in general on the Willis note, I think that I've been kind of trolling the Vatek message boards a little bit, just trying to get their pulse on the program. And it seems like that at least the fans seem to think that he suffers from consistency issues as well, you know, which is obviously something that over the, you know, last year we weren't immune to seeing out of AB at times. It's just a common thing that happens to college quarterbacks. So I'm with you. I do. Obviously he was not nearly the same quarterback in the second half of our game. I don't know if that was, again, things that we were doing right or the big hit, or if that was just kind of par for his course of being inconsistent. Obviously you hope it's the, you hope it's the latter, and that you hope that we get the inconsistent version of him this week. But I'm with you, man. He's a dangerous quarterback. Threw for 24 touchdowns last year, like you said. And that receiving core is a little frightening. They did lose their second leader in their exodus of transfers, and I'm sure you'll mention, went to ODU, which that's like got to suck if you're Virginia Tech and your second best receiver is going to Old Dominion.
Well, especially because Old Dominion beat him last year.
Yeah, exactly. Right? But she probably just wanted to, you know, play on a better team in the state of Virginia, so that's tough. But they got this Damon Hazelton guy is like literally 10 feet tall. He grabbed a couple against us last year, leading receiver. And then Trey Turner, not the baseball player, which is definitely going to be confusing when they're announcing it on Saturday. But, you know, if there was an area where they could lose like a stud to an Old Dominion, I think it seems like wide receiver is the deepest area. But, yeah, I'll let you continue. But I'm really hoping that we get the inconsistent Willis on Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see which half shows up. And like you said, we could certainly relate to having a Jekyll and Hyde quarterback situation. Not to hate on your guy.
Not anymore. That was sophomore coming off of an injured training camp. He is going to be a different quarterback, you'll see. But yeah.
If you would put the first half of Willis and combine that with the second half of AB in that game, that's a Heisman quarterback right there.
Exactly.
But like you said, if there's one position to worry about with these guys, it is at the wide receiver / tight end slot. They also have this guy, Dalton Keene, that I think had 70 or so yards against us last year. And obviously, that's a potential weakness for us, being our secondary is very inexperienced outside of Brandon Sebastian. So, that'll be a key matchup to watch
for. They're small, too. Like, we don't have a lot of size in our secondary, unless I'm...
Well, we're bigger than last year.
Yeah, I guess.
But we're certainly unproven, and yeah, we're still a few inches less than the VTech receivers
that are just
ginormous across the board and made some absurd catches. I mean, they're really good in the red zone, and they were good in the red zone against us last year.
They have just one of their touchdowns was a corner fade, or they have two?
No, they had two. Yeah. They had two. And so as good as their passing attack is, or has the potential to be, their running game, holy cow, their running game stinks.
Yep.
They are just extremely one-dimensional. I think Willis was actually their leading rusher against us. We absolutely stuffed the run. So, for us, right? So our concern is I guess, in the secondary. And then I'm not really all that concerned about the D-line, but I know that people are. But as long as we can stop the passing attack and be consistent with what we did last year and stuff in the run game, I don't think this is that bad of a matchup on the defensive side of the football whatsoever. I do think they might be able to, have a couple big plays, explosive plays with these receivers and, some growing pains in our secondary. But overall, I really like our chances defensively to sort of ease into it and get everyone on the same page against these guys.
I'm with you. I'm definitely with you on the run game. My confidence is not as high as yours on the aerial attack, but we're going to see. Yeah, so they lost Peoples, who was their leading rusher from last year. And so they're going
they're leading rusher with like 400 yards.
Yeah, it was not a great number. Good last name though. I feel like we could definitely do some good nicknames with a guy named Peoples. I don't know what it would be, but I feel like we could.
Can you name one?
What's that?
Can you name a nickname? Or
not off the top of my head. I wasn't prepared for that segment, but okay, you could do anything with Peoples. So their starting running back this year is this guy Deshaun McLeese. He's 5'9", which I feel like is small. Like, I'm a tall guy, so maybe that's just like a more normal number for a running back than I would expect. But he's certainly not a power back. He's a shifty, kind of a quick back, which I feel like I actually would rather go up against with our defense than like a power back, just because we'll be able to plug some holes and I feel like we do have a very quick secondary. We should be able to track that down where necessary. So I'm with you overall. I feel very confident in our ability to shut down the run game. But you were the one who just watched the game. I have a lot of fear or a lot of bad memories over what their tall receivers did to our secondary last year.
Definitely. But I think if you keep everyone in front of you, and the linebackers can drop into coverage, and our guy Carafa single-handedly had 4,700 tackles for a loss.
Yeah, he had the
game
of his life.
Yeah,
he's a Virginia guy, so I think that's like a homecoming game.
Definitely. And I guess now's a good time to touch on some of their cultural issues too. So McLeese, who you mentioned, was in the transfer portal for a couple months before I guess there were no takers. I don't really know how that works, but he decided to come back. And now he's their starting running back. So these guys lost a ton to the transfer portal and just overall people leaving. You mentioned the big receiver. They lost Josh Jackson. There was recently a story in Sports Illustrated where basically Fuente talked to the reporters and basically said, there was a lot of issues last year and the team wasn't happy, to the point that people were trying to lose in the second half of the year so that they wouldn't have to play in a bowl game, which is frightening to think about, like that you could actually have a program that's in that much disarray.
Right.
Especially considering they have like a 30-year bowl streak, on the line. So if you have any pride whatsoever, just an absurd culture problem that, Fuente seems to has seemed to have fixed, at least in his own mind, based on how the article plays out. But you could even see it in our game that we play. They sort of quit in the second half when the going got tough. They made some dumb penalties. So I don't think we can count on that again this year if it's true that they've actually figured that cultural issue out. So something to watch for there.
Yeah, and really their exodus of players was on the defensive side of the ball. I think they basically kept their leading tackler, but that's just about it. Pretty much everyone is gone. Oh, and they have a safety that people are looking at as a possible first round draft pick. So they've got two kind of talented guys coming back, but everyone else is pretty much, you know, going to be plugged in new.
Well, you know what's interesting, Matt? I maybe we're reading two different things here, but I think they're actually returning a ton of guys, but the guys that they have returning just kind of suck.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Fair. I'm saying they're two like good guys that they're bringing back are their leading tackler and a first round safety, but that's pretty much it.
They lost
their best corner to UNC, but you know, I think I'm a little. So it's Bud Foster's last season, which, you know, long term, I think is a good thing. It'll be great to not have him, you know, coming up with game plans against us every year for perpetuity. But it does concern me a little bit for, you know, this particular game. I don't like when teams have any extra, you know, weird added motivation. I just don't think there's any, you know, teams can be weird and kind of grab on to certain things and latch on, kind of like a win one for the Gipper type issue with Notre Dame. So I don't like that, you know, this might be something where, hey, this is, you know, we're going to send him out. We're going to, you know, prove the haters wrong and do all this stuff for his last year. So that's a little bit concerning. But I will say that if there's any coordinator in the country, you know, other than, you know, maybe Don Brown, who's like able to come up with a creative scheme to make up for, you know, maybe not the most talented bunch or a bunch of new guys, Bud Foster would have to be on the shortlist for that, right? So that's a little concerning in terms of his ability to, you know, while the fact that they lost everyone on the defensive side is great, he's the one guy that I feel like can withstand that more so than others, you know, throughout the country.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree with you, but, and I guess that is the one concern I guess I'd have on that side of the ball, but their D-line and their secondary, much like us, except I think they're at a different level. Their D-line is absolutely horrible.
Yes.
Their linebackers are very much unproven, and they kind of sucked last year, and that's like the strength of that. Like, you can't have that many question marks on that side of the football and go up against a healthy A.J. Dillon, who,
right,
by the way, has, you know, it's the first time he's been able to take the training wheels off.
And talk about, by the way, talk about a chip on his shoulder, like after the injury last year and all the hype. Like, he's going to be an angry running back.
Right. I mean, last time he was healthy and was able to go, you know, full speed was, what, Temple?
Pretty much.
Right. When did he get banged up?
Was it the first half of Temple?
Exactly, before he got banged up. So, you know, he's ready to go, take the training wheels off and you know, go full go against their undersized DL or D-line, rather. I think, you know, Dillon could easily put up 200 yards, no question. And I really think that's the game plan, is establish Dillon early. Much like we did versus Wake, I think the defense is comparably bad for VTech. So you get him established early, you get single coverage downfield, and then we'll see if Tony Touchdowns has actually made that jump pretty quickly. So I don't know. I mean, on our side of the ball, like I said, I think there will be some growing pains on defense, and they probably will put up some points with those big receivers. But I really think that this team is built this year, especially if we keep the tempo up, to put up a ton of points. So I'm not scared of you know what happens defensively so much. I think we can be a 40 point a game team if we want to be.
Yeah, I'm completely with you, and I'll just roll it into my prediction here. I do think that this does remind me a lot of the Wake game last year, and a lot of facets. I think potentially a shootout. So Tech is now up to a 4.5 point favorite, which candidly does scare me. Like, I think always follow the money. Vegas seems to know when these things shift. I think this opened at 2.5.
BC.
I'm saying,
if you look at Vegas, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, I should have wrote it down, but Virginia Tech is like two in their last 10 in covering the spread.
Yes.
Whereas we're the opposite.
I would agree with that. There is absolutely an anti-BC bias, you know, in the betting public. So I'm not going to think the worst. Over under at 58.5, which I do think is low. I see a lot of offense in this game. Like we said, this is, I think, going to be our best offense at BC in a decade. And again, relatively depleted on D on the VaTech side. So I think that we can, you know, absolutely explode. And it's a little bit vice versa as well. Their wide receiver threats absolutely terrify me against our secondary. I do smell a bit of a shootout, which will be, you know, way more stressful than I would like for an opener, especially on a, you know, picture perfect Labor Day Saturday. But, you know, you gotta, it takes the pain to get to the success that we're ultimately going to get to here. I do feel at the end of the day, we are at home. We are healthy. We are a cohesive team where they are not. Tony Touchdowns and AJ both have a ton to prove, as does really everyone after a disappointing end to the year and the bowl game. I think it's a hungry team, and I think ultimately, you know, Tech may figure it out over the course of the year, and Fuente gets his guys in there, and you know, they do come back together as a unit. So I love getting them early off the disruptive offseason, still with a lot of question marks. Might take them a game or two to figure it out and put all the pieces together. So with all of that said, I am going BC to win 45-37. I think it's going to be a tight game. I don't think it's going to be a it'll be a fun game for neutrals. I don't think it'll be a fun game for us with, you know, what we have at stake here. But with that said, I do think the over is easily the smart money.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's weird how our predictions always are weirdly similar. But anyway.
It's going to be identical.
It's pretty close. It's pretty close, yeah. Two things that I'm keying in on. You know, I think watching the Gators in Miami game last Saturday, you saw how sloppy an opener can be. And anytime you go into the first game of the year against a big opponent, you know, obviously last year we had two scrimmages pretty much before we had to head to Wake. Right. So we, you know, sort of got tuned up and you know, figured out what we were doing. When you go in against a big time team like Virginia Tech, you really got to play clean. You know, you got to avoid turnovers, avoid penalties, and, you know, avoid giving up the big play. So I think those are the three keys to the game, you know, to make sure that these guys don't put up too many points with that offense. I do also think on our offensive side of the football, you know, Daz has been pretty adamant all offseason with the addition of Bajakey, and he keeps saying, you know, nothing's going to change. It's going to be, you know, a ground and pound offense. That's how it's going to be. But you know Daz, it's, you know, he plays chess. Everyone else plays checkers.
Of course. Virginia Tech's like Bill Belichick.
Virginia Tech's going to game plan for, you know, same old BC, and we're going to open the game with like eight straight flea flickers or something like that. It's like one giant bye week this offseason is for Daz. We know how great he is at the, you know, every single time we play Florida State or whoever coming
we
off
play
a bye.
Friday night game, there will be at least two flea flickers in that game. That's just a fact.
Absolutely. So I think there's a pretty good chance we'll see some trick plays, and those always hit. But beside, you know, other than that, I think Dylan's just going to wear these guys down. And so I got BC 42, Virginia Tech 31.
Okay, very close. So thanks again to our sponsors, of course, Blue Chew and my bookie. Again, we certainly do not need any help with our blood flow when game day is just three days away. But if you do, head to bluechew.com, promo code armchair. And when hammering the birds plus 4.5 and the over, head over to my bookie and use promo code chair. No arm on that chair. So that could be a little bit confusing there. Follow us on Twitter and Insta. We're going to try to be a little bit more active on the gram this year. We're at Fourth and Dude on both. And as always, be sure to keep an eye on our guys over at Eagle Insiders, BC247. They'll be churning out a ton of stuff for game week. Just a mountain of great content to get you completely ready to go for Saturday. Sign up today to get everything you could possibly need at their VIP level access to their boards and all their best articles and interviews. Highly recommend. I think it's legitimately probably the best, you know, $10 I spend every month. They're great on Twitter too, at Eagle Insiders, so shoot them a follow. Thanks again for listening. It is going to be an absolutely awesome year, and I am so excited to, you know, be back and ready for football. And Matt, I am so happy that we can finally say this again. It is full speed ahead on the road to 10-2.
It's a dude alert, folks.